So last week we covered the concepts of mobile IP that allows host mobility. And in the afternoon we went through a detailed example that illustrated the different concepts. And the concepts are easy. That is, a mobile node, one that moves between IP subnets, gets a care of address, and when a correspondent node sends to its original home address, the home agent forwards to the care of address. For that to work, the mobile node needs to register by telling both the foreign agent and the home agent that it is visiting this network and telling its home agent where it's currently located. So there's a registration procedure which is needed whenever you change networks, and once you register, when the mobile node sends packets to the correspondent node, it follows its normal route. When the correspondent node sends packets to the mobile node, they go via the home agent. And this allows computers to be mobile in the internet, to change IP subnets, without applications being aware of that mobility. That the mobility is hidden from applications, so that applications are not disrupted as users change networks. We'll come to this in a moment. Note that one thing we in our example we gave the case where we change between one access point and another. So often when we talk about mobility, we assume that the user is physically moving a reasonable distance. That is, I gave the example that a user moves from here to Toshiba. That is, they would change networks from SIT's network to one of our neighbour organisations' networks. So moving hundreds of metres. But mobile IP is not just needed, or a handover just occurs when we're moving. We may hand over when we are almost stationary. That is, I may have my laptop here, which has wireless LAN access as well as GPRS or 3G access. Currently, when I look at the set of wireless networks, I can connect to SIT's wireless network. There's also a commercial ISP. If there's also a commercial ISP I could connect to via their wireless LAN. Let's say I'm in the centre of Bangkok and there are many wireless LANs around. My organisation's wireless LAN, plus there are access points from other organisations which I can potentially connect to. And those access points of the other organisations are part of different IP subnets. So if I want to change from one access point to another, that is an access point of SIT to an access point of organisation X, and they're on different IP subnets, that's when we need mobile IP. I may not even move. If my laptop has some software, it may work out, okay, the signal of SIT's network is getting weak, or the number of users on SIT network is getting large, therefore the performance of my connection to SIT is going down, even without moving. And therefore my computer decides, let's try this other network, connect to that, and try to use that as our internet access. There is a case of a handover between one IP subnet and another without mobility, without physical mobility. So you don't need a large amount of mobility to trigger a handover to occur. When you have multiple possible networks to connect to at the same time, you may want to switch between them to use the best one, the cheapest one, the best performing network, or the most appropriate for your application. So mobile IP is not just about moving between wireless LANs. There are a number of slides I've skipped over because I'm having trouble displaying them, because some figures in there do not display. But we covered everything that we're going to cover about mobile IP last week. We went through the main mechanisms. Some of the slides we skipped, you'll see on concepts like cell switching. That's just some terminology of how to change cells, or how to change access points. We're not going to cover that. There are some optimizations to make the mobile IP perform better. And you'll see some slides on things like route optimization, things mentioning bycasting, having hierarchical foreign agents, Again, we're not going to cover them. They are some advanced details to make the performance of Mobile IP better. But we just want to cover the basic concepts. So, the last slide, before I move on to the next topic, is about where are we today? That is Mobile IP used? A standard for Mobile IP has been around for 10 or more years. That is, people know how to do it. Both for Mobile IP version 4, currently we use IPv4, but also for the next generation of the Internet Protocol, IPv6, there's a mechanisms using similar concepts that we've discussed, but maybe some different terminology and some different details, IP mobility for IPv6. So the mechanisms are in place. People know how to do it. What about our laptops? Does my laptop support Mobile IP? Well, it depends upon the operating system. Most consumer operating systems do not have inbuilt support for Mobile IP. Some variations, or some Linux-based variations, have extra software. Again, it's not inbuilt support, but you can install software that would support Mobile IP on your laptop. So it's not so common on end-user consumer devices. Most commercial routers, because remember, our foreign agent and home agent are really just pieces of software running on routers. Most routers today support the functionality needed for home agents and foreign agents. At least most, not your home router, but commercial routers that organizations use. So the support in hosts, laptops and so on, is not so common. In routers, it's available, but it's not used much. So where is Mobile IP used? Well, it's not in widespread consumer use. It's not used on your laptop because at this stage, people aren't changing between networks that need this uninterrupted delivery service. It's used in some business networks. Perhaps the most prominent example of where it's being used or planned to be used in the future is in the 3G networks and the next generation wireless mobile phone networks. That is the future 3G networks, long-term evolution we mentioned, uses Mobile IP to allow users to roam between networks. So as you move, as you're, say, driving in your car and you have your phone talking or you've got it on board the car, then in next generation wireless or mobile phone networks, they'll be using Mobile IP concepts to hand over between access points or between base stations. So that's where Mobile IP will become more prominent. And therefore, it's expected to be implemented in most new mobile devices, if it's not already. So some mobile phones would be using it as a mechanism for handovers in their mobile phone networks. So it's not so much for our end-user laptops at this stage. It's more inbuilt into mobile devices, mobile phones especially. Not so much for just 3G networks, but 3.5 or 3.5G, things like long-term evolution, LTE, WiMAX, which are networks that are not so much in Thailand, but in some countries are starting to deploy such networks. So that's it. Enough on Mobile IP. We've got two more minor topics on mobile networking that we need to cover, and that's going to finish us for up until the exam. So let me open this other one. Mobile IP is about host mobility. A single laptop moving or a single mobile phone moving between IP subnets. Another concept is network mobility. An entire network moving. And we'll see a protocol called NEMO, network mobility. Or to support network mobility. Now, when we say an entire network, so with Mobile IP it supports my laptop moving. An entire network refers to maybe several laptops as well as a router. Those several laptops are in the same IP subnet as that router, and they all move. When does an entire network move? Well, this becomes common if you talk about internet access inside vehicles. A car, a bus, a train. Then you can imagine that that car has its own onboard router, plus the devices inside that car, the mobile phone, the entertainment system, any communication devices in the car, all a part of that one IP subnet, and as the car drives through a road network, then that entire network is moving. And that's why there is this concept of network mobility, to support that case. So using a similar case or similar diagram as what we did to explain mobile IP, here's our internet, here's an access network, or two access networks. Host mobility, which mobile IP supports, is when a single mobile node moves between access networks, or IP subnets. So this is one IP subnet, like 10, 10, 10, 0. This is another, like 20, 20, 20, 0. This is about mobile IP. What about network mobility? Here, let's say there's one access network and a second one. This is a router. And in this access network, or IP subnet, there are multiple nodes. Some may be fixed, maybe wired to the router. Some may be mobile, like wireless communications here between a laptop and a router. Network mobility is about this entire network moving. We can imagine that, or think that this network is attached to this access network. If this network moves to here, we have network mobility. We need to be able to handle that somehow. Just to put addresses on this example, is our internet. We have this router here, and let's give this network some subnet or network address. So this is a network 22.22.22.0. There's a router here, and this network 11.11.0. There may be some hosts attached to this network. This is a router, so it has at least two IP addresses. This one, let's say it's 11.11.11.1. And this IP address, which would be 22.22.22.something, let's call it 1. Similar, this router would have two IP addresses, one for this side and one for this side. And we have another network here. Network mobility should allow this entire network, the router, as well as the hosts attached, to move to another access network, to move all to here. So imagine this is a car. This network is inside a car. On board your car, you have a special device, a mobile router. This is a router, but we'll see that it moves. Most routers we imagine would be fixed. This is a router that moves. And inside your car, you have different devices using IP to communicate. Your communication devices, your phone, the entertainment system, the radio, devices for monitoring the car's operation, reporting about maintenance. They all communicate with each other inside the car, and all via the mobile router. As the car is moving, driving along a road, it is changing access networks. It's moving from this one to this one to another one and so on. So this entire network moves. And we'd like to be able to support that mobility. mobility. Make it easy for that to move. Now, we could use mobile IP to do this. What it would mean from a mobile IP perspective is that this mobile node is running mobile IP, and as it moves to here, it performs a mobile IP handover, a registration to its home agent. When it reaches the foreign agent, it discovers the foreign agent, registers the home agent, and so on. This node is also mobile. It's changing from here to here, so it has to also use mobile IP, as do all the hosts on this access network, as does the router. That is, we could use mobile IP to support this mobility by all of these devices implementing mobile IP and all separately maintaining their registration to a home agent. But that becomes... That can lead to poor performance, because let's say we have not a car, but a bus, and there are 30 devices on board. Every time that bus changes access networks, then all 30 devices need to do a mobile IP registration and update their home agent. The performance of that can degrade quite quickly as the number of devices increases. A better way would be to have one device perform the mobile IP registration on behalf of all the other devices. And that's what NeMo is about. The mobile router, as this entire network moves, the mobile router effectively performs a mobile IP registration, telling its home agent, which would be here, the mobile router tells, as it moves to here, tells its home agent where it is via some registration, and performs the mobile IP operations on behalf of all the hosts. So the hosts don't have to worry about performing any mobile IP operations. The mobile router does it for them. And in this results in a new protocol called NeMo, Network Mobility. Why would we need that? Well, often comes up in vehicles, in private vehicles if we have inside our car, in public transport, trains, for example, going through the city, all the users inside that train are hosts. That train may have a special mobile router on board that provides either satellite internet access, WiMAX, or 3G internet access to all of the users. So this is on board the train. These are the users on the train. The users may use a wireless technology to communicate with the wireless router, the mobile router. So this may be a wireless LAN access point. The users just use their wireless LAN to communicate to here. But as the train moves, the mobile router, which may be using WiMAX or 3G or satellite, performs a handover between one router and the next router as it moves through the train network. Similar with buses or ships, even across the globe, or even airplanes, aircraft. So that's some examples where a network may be mobile. There may be special cases when not just vehicles, but your network is mobile. Let's say you have multiple 5 or 6 devices carried on your body. A mobile phone, a camera, maybe a watch, a headset, an MP3 player. They're all using IP to communicate, to share information and to download information. One of those devices could be a mobile router, and it handles the mobility of all the other devices as you move through a network, as you walk through some area. Not used so much in end consumer applications, that is, you and I don't use this much, but such scenarios arise in special cases like emergency services, firefighting, the police, in military networks where we have a battalion, a group in the army moving, tanks, people and so on, an entire network may be moving at once, and such network mobility arises. You could just use mobile IP, but as we just said, if we use mobile IP, it requires all mobile nodes to implement mobile IP. If we have many devices, then that adds extra complexity. And every device needs to do a mobile IP registration, which involves sending many messages, which can lead to poor performance. So, in effect, mobile IP has been extended to support network mobility. Really, NEMO is an extension of mobile IP to support the special case when an entire network moves, and we have the mobile router do the handover processing on behalf of the other nodes. We're not going to go through too many details of NEMO. We'll just mention that it's very similar to mobile IP, or uses a similar concept, but we will not go through any detailed example. This just illustrates the basics. We have our mobile network here. It's attached to some other network where there's a router, and we can think of this router as a home agent. Same concept as mobile IP, where we had a home agent and a mobile node. Now we have a home agent and a mobile network. This entire network moves. We get a care of address for this network. We can get it from this router, which is in effect our foreign agent. And we register that care of address with our home agent. So, almost identical concepts as mobile IP. As a network moves, it gets a care of address from a foreign agent. It tells its home agent about that care of address. When a correspondent node sends packets to some node on this mobile network, those packets will be forwarded to the home agent. The home agent would have some information that tells it, okay, this network is no longer home. This network is visiting some other location. It will tunnel those packets to the right direction and eventually deliver them to the destination node. So we have mobile routers now. That is, this router is moving, so it's called a mobile router, and that handles the NEMO handover. Similar to a mobile node implemented mobile IP, a mobile router implements NEMO. And discovers a care of address from a foreign agent, tells its home agent about that care of address, and does any necessary tunneling to deliver the packet. And I think that's about all the detail we're going to go through. This just illustrates, but we're not going to go through the detail, this concept of, same as mobile IP, of tunneling. When correspondent node sends a packet, it uses normal IP routing and it forwards the packet to the home agent. The home agent realizes that that network is not home and therefore sends it to the care of address here. And then it's delivered to the destination. We will not go into the detailed example of how that works. Just the concept is necessary at this stage. In the other direction, there are some additional security mechanisms that make network mobility more challenging than mobile IP. But again, I don't want to go into that detail. If we can move on. There are many details about network mobility, how to assign care of addresses to mobile routers. How do you do the tunneling? How does a mobile router register when it reaches a foreign network? What happens if you have multiple mobile networks nested within each other? How do we make the performance better by optimizing the route? Again, you can look at those in your own time. We're not going to cover them in any detail. Where is NeMo today? It's implemented in, it's available as a standard. There are some commercial routers that implement the features necessary, because this is not about mobility in host, this is about the router supporting mobility. So some commercial routers implement it, but not many. So it's mainly only used in experimental research purposes, like experimental future vehicle networks, where you have internet-enabled cars. It may become more widespread as internet access becomes more common in public and private vehicles, maybe in the next 5 or 10 years. Last topic. I just split these into multiple files so the computer could display it. So, first thing, mobile IP for host mobility, NeMo for network mobility. Another thing about mobility, but slightly different, is ad hoc networking, or mobile ad hoc networks. M means mobile here. Ad hoc networks, MANETs. When you did your assignment, you did some tests with your laptop communicating with an access point. Now, in wireless LAN, that's the typical mode of operation where a client associates with an access point. But you don't have to do that. You could communicate direct between clients, laptop to laptop. In wireless LAN, that's referred to peer-to-peer mode or ad hoc mode. You can even, in the operating system in Windows, it shows, do you want to set up a direct wireless connection or an ad hoc connection from laptop to laptop to transfer data? Similar concepts in what's called mobile ad hoc networks or ad hoc networking. We have a group of laptops, let's say everyone has their mobile device, and instead of communicating via a pre-installed access point, we communicate via each other. That is, if I want to communicate with someone at the back of the room, that I would send direct from my laptop to their laptop using wireless communications. Now, that's okay, except what happens if I want to communicate with someone who's outside of my range? That is, my range of my wireless device is 10 meters. I can communicate with someone here, but not 20 meters away. Well, in mobile ad hoc networks, we get the intermediate device to forward data. I send my data to the first laptop, they send it onto the second laptop on behalf of my computer. And what we get is a mobile ad hoc network. Ad hoc because such networks are normally formed on a spontaneous basis or for a temporary purpose. It's ad hoc, it's not a network that's pre-installed. There's no need for an access point. Everyone just brings their laptops into the area and starts communicating. When they've finished doing what they want to do, they disperse, and there's no longer a network. Let's look at the concepts of ad hoc networks. First, we'll explain ad hoc networks by comparing them to what we know about existing wireless networks. The existing wireless networks that we know about and we think about and use can be referred as infrastructure-based wireless networks. Your wireless LAN, there's an access point out in the corridor. I'm connected to that, so that is my laptop is associated with that access point. To communicate on the internet, I send to that access point, which then sends via wires through the rest of the network. Same with my mobile phone. My mobile phone communicates to a base station via wireless, and then the base station sends my voice across cables across Bangkok to the destination. There's infrastructure already deployed for this network to work. The infrastructure is the access point or base station, the wiring or the cables, and in most cases you need some servers to support the operation. That's the infrastructure that already exists. A fixed base station that provides the wireless connectivity, the cabling or the wires that connect those base stations together. So such a network is used, or is most commonly used, say in wireless LANs, mobile phones, even satellite and WiMAX networks use this type of network. We have some fixed device and our mobile devices communicate wirelessly direct to that. If I want to communicate from this laptop to this mobile phone, in an infrastructure mode, it goes to the base station and then down to the mobile phone. It doesn't go direct. Even if you have two laptops sitting next to each other, if they're using the access point with wireless LAN, you send to the access point that sends back down to that laptop. It doesn't send directly. There's a single hop for wireless communications. I hop, that is, this is one hop. There's one link from the mobile device to the base station. The rest of it is normally wired communications. Infrastructure works like we normally use. They work well because they're designed for specific performance and coverage. And because it's easy to control the resources. Control how much performance each mobile node gets. That is, SIT's wireless LAN is designed that placement of access points is chosen such that we get coverage of the main areas. There's an access point outside the corridor. It provides coverage in this room, down the corridor, and in the rooms down there. There's an access point on the next floor to provide specific coverage. So it's designed such a way to provide adequate coverage or adequate performance. The problems with such networks is that they take effort to deploy. They may take a large amount of time and money to deploy. Think of a wireless network to be built across Bangkok. You need to place base stations across the city. You need to cable, run wires to all of those base stations, have servers. That's going to cost millions, tens of millions of baht, and it's going to take months to deploy, to build a new wireless network across Bangkok. We have restricted coverage in some cases. If I want to connect to the SIT wireless LAN, I must be within range of an access point. If that access point has a range that reaches my laptop, that's okay, but if it doesn't reach a position here, I cannot communicate with a wireless LAN of SIT. So the coverage of an infrastructure-based network depends upon the location of base stations or access points. Anyone within the coverage of this can communicate. If you're outside, you've got no chance of communicating. That can be a problem sometimes. The other problem with networks is that they can be centralized. If this base station fails, no one can communicate. If that access point outside fails for some reason, my laptop has no internet access. That's a problem in some cases. So, the alternative, infrastructure-less wireless networks. We take mobile devices, whatever they may be, mobiles, laptops, anything, and we form a network amongst them without any pre-established infrastructure. No access points or base stations, no cables or wiring, no special servers, just the mobile devices. And in this example network, we have a set of mobile devices. The red lines show the wireless links. That is, the range is indicated by the red lines. That is, D, B, and E actually, there may be something here as well, or there should be a link here. Let's say D, B, and E are within range of computer A. That's if the range was 20 meters, they're all close enough to computer A to directly communicate via a wireless link. But these nodes are outside of the range of computer A. Therefore, if A wants to communicate with G, it would send to a node that's within range, such as B. B would then send the data to C, and C would send it to G. This is routing, but in a wireless network. And these are referred to as mobile ad hoc network nodes, and in effect they are normal hosts, like laptops and mobile phones, but also act as routers, in that they forward packets through the network, but using wireless links all the way. So some key characteristics of an ad hoc network is that we don't have any existing infrastructure. That's good, because it means it can be quick to deploy and cheap to deploy. We want to set up a network. There's no wireless LAN access point. Turn on your laptops. If you're running the appropriate software, everyone can communicate. Very easy to deploy a network. Or there's an emergency. There's an earthquake somewhere. All the base stations have been destroyed. The wires are no longer connected because of the earthquake. Then emergency services drive into the area. They all have wireless devices. They communicate directly with each other and form a network amongst themselves. So, because we do not rely on existing infrastructure. Another characteristic is that we often need multiple wireless hops. With a single wireless hop, we can only communicate with nodes within direct range. But that's often not enough. If we want to cover a large area, then we need multiple wireless hops. As a result, all nodes act as routers. What does a router do? A router forwards packets. Normally, your laptop is just a host. If it receives a packet, it will never send it on. A router receives a packet, may decide to send it to someone else until it reaches the destination. So in an ad hoc network, all nodes are routers. We have node mobility. These nodes may move. B may move to here. And as a result, the path of going from A, B, C, G may no longer exist. So now, if B moves to here, if A wants to send to G, it'd have to send along a different path, such as A, D, F, H, C, G. As nodes move, the path through the network change. And we need to update our routes quickly so that we can send our data along the correct path. So we have a dynamic topology. The topology is changing all the time. Or can be on a matter of seconds. There's no pre-configuration of the devices. The idea is that you just turn on your mobile device and the network forms amongst the different devices and works. That is, you do not have to configure anything. You do not have to set in any passwords. You do not have to identify yourself with different access points. The network just works. It's self-organizing. Other characteristics of an ad hoc network, normally the devices are resource limited. If these are mobile devices, normally they have, compared to normal hosts and routers, they have lower CPU, lower processing capabilities, less memory, especially limited energy sources. They operate or rely on batteries. As opposed to a router or an access point which has power plugged into it, it can run forever, essentially. But now if we have our laptop acting to forward packets on others' behalf, it can only run for several hours before the battery goes flat. So the applications and the protocols that support ad hoc networks must be designed to support these constraints. That is, the devices are normally resource limited, especially energy or battery power. Also, we always use wireless communications. In our infrastructure network, we have our mobile device, we have a wireless link to a base station or an access point, and then we have a wired link across the rest of the network to a destination. We know that wireless networks normally lower performance than wired. This may be our wireless LAN, which has a throughput of around 20 megabits per second. This may be our Ethernet at 100 megabits per second. The wireless is normally much less than the wired network in terms of performance. Now, in our ad hoc network, we have a wireless link to another node and then another wireless link to the destination. Both of them are limited. Now, we know the performance of a wireless network decreases as the number of nodes increases. We know, and you know from some experiments, that if you increase the number of nodes, the amount per node goes down. Let's add in some more nodes, all wanting to transmit to here. Instead of approximately 20 megabits per second, that goes down. That is, this link may be around 6. That is, we divide by 3 approximately. We have, instead of one node transmitting, we have 3 nodes wanting to transmit. So, the overall performance of the network can be much less than in an infrastructure-based network, where we have wires and faster performance. Just a single wireless link, here we have multiple wireless links. The end result is that the performance from here to here can be much less than in this case. The throughput can be much lower in this case compared to here. So that's a problem. In other words, in ad hoc networks, the performance is usually much less than in an infrastructure-based network. Such networks may be quite large. That is, all right, you can imagine the 20 of us form an ad hoc network amongst our laptops. That's a small network. Or you can imagine a military organization forms a network amongst thousands of nodes. That's a large network, and therefore that creates problems in designing applications that work for it. These infrastructure-less wireless networks, we often call them ad hoc networks, or mobile ad hoc networks, or MANETs. Sometimes you'll see wireless ad hoc networks, or multi-hop wireless networks, because we have multiple wireless hops. An infrastructure-based network is usually a single wireless hop. Here we have multiple wireless hops. So just some different terminology you may see. So when are such networks useful? Who needs such a network? Useful if we want rapid network deployment. We gave an example. We want to deploy a network in a matter of seconds or minutes, not days, weeks, or months. The wireless LAN for SIT takes days, if not weeks, to deploy because you need to work out where to put the access points, put them in, put the wiring to those access points, configure the servers. Ad hoc network, we just turn on our laptops, everyone communicates, so seconds to communicate. Useful if it's too costly to deploy the infrastructure. So if you cannot build a base station in a particular area. That is, you want to build a network in an area where you do not have physical access to, in mountains or in a city where you cannot pay for building a base station in a particular location, then ad hoc networks may be useful. Especially, for example, in a military scenario where you move into a foreign country, you cannot go and build base stations. You have to form an ad hoc network amongst the different devices in there. There's no physical ability to deploy the infrastructure, then ad hoc networks become beneficial. Or network survivability is vital. With our infrastructure-based network, if this base station fails, our network fails. in our ad hoc network, if this node fails, then perhaps we can send via this path. Network survives if a single node fails. So ad hoc networks are useful in cases where we need this high survivability. So some typical examples are in defense or military applications, emergency services, firefighting, police, emergency or first response. If there's a disaster, the infrastructure no longer exists, you need a network to communicate, then an ad hoc network becomes beneficial. And in some temporary business or community networks, temporary networks where a group of people want to spontaneously come together and form a network, and they don't have the infrastructure available. They cannot spend the time or the money to deploy an access point. They communicate directly amongst their devices. Normally, when we talk about MANETs or mobile ad hoc networks, we consider the cases when you need multiple wireless hops. That is, if I just want to communicate with one other person's laptop, it's reasonably easy. We can have a direct wireless connection. We're both within range. We only need a single wireless hop. That's easy. But if I have 10 or 15 people and not everyone is within range of my laptop, then we will need multiple wireless hops. And if people are moving, then that becomes more complex. And that's where some of the challenges of ad hoc networks arise. So when we talk about mobile ad hoc networks, normally we talk about cases where we need multiple wireless hops, as opposed to the very simple case of just a single wireless connection from laptop to laptop. There are some special cases of mobile ad hoc networks, and these perhaps have more commercial applications today than the original ad hoc networks. And they are referred to as mesh networks and sensor networks. In a mobile ad hoc network, M means mobile. We assume the nodes are moving. But in some cases, we make this ad hoc multi-hop wireless network where the nodes are fixed. We often refer to that as a mesh network, a wireless mesh network. Don't be confused with the name mesh network and start to think about a full mesh topology. Just think of it as a set of nodes, normally fixed, that use wireless in all cases to communicate with each other. Therefore, it's not as dynamic as a pure ad hoc network. And the best example is when you and you've come up with a great business plan to deploy a new ISP across Bangkok. Your business is to be an internet service provider, and you're going to provide internet access to many users across the city, except you want to start a low-cost network. So you cannot afford to go to all the different locations across the city and deploy base stations. Base stations are expensive because, A, you need to pay rent for the location, so you need to pay some organisation to use their space. That's costly. And you need cabling to those base stations. And that's another additional cost. So you deploy your own internet service provider across some city and you use a mesh network. You still need to use base stations, but you don't use cabling. That is, you go to a number of locations and deploy base stations, and you use wireless to communicate between them. Across the area. And now, that forms the core network for your internet service provider. So now there's a user who's going to pay you to access the network. They connect to this base station using normal wireless LAN or some wireless technology. And when they send their data to this base station, this sends it across the city using the set of other base stations, all using wireless communications, until one special base station is reached, which has a connection to the rest of the internet. This is a wireless mesh network. There's not individual cables coming from each base station. They simply use wireless to communicate between them to provide a large cheaper than having to, or potentially cheaper than having to provide cables to all of these base stations and provide internet access to each of these. We just provide it to one or a selection of those base stations. So this is used in different cities across the world where to provide internet access to different areas of that city, just deploy these often cheap base stations, allow them to communicate wirelessly with each other, such that the people that access one base station can eventually get access to the internet via multiple wireless hops. So the difference between a pure network is that mobility is not present in this case. The network is using fixed devices. Used to provide, in practice, mobile broadband access, so high-speed internet access to emergency services. Let's say the police force have such a network across the city and they deploy their own base stations across the city such that their police cars and the police officers can access from anywhere across the city to their private wireless network and eventually get internet access. Low-cost network deployment, you want to cover an area where you want to minimize the cost and therefore not have cabling to every individual base station, use wireless links. Or community-based wireless networks. All your friends put a cheap wireless LAN access point with a high-gain antenna on its roof, on the roof of your house. And if you have enough friends across some area, you may be able to form a network amongst them. So these are just different people's homes with cheap wireless LAN access points. And if they are dense enough, then you should be able to form a network amongst those homes such that you can communicate between anyone on that network for free without having to pay an internet service provider. And a number of cities have such networks. So that's a specialized case of a mobile ad hoc network in that we have multiple wireless hops, but we don't have mobility in this case. So it's usually easier to deploy and gives us generally better performance than ad hoc networks. Another special case is what's referred to as sensor networks or wireless sensor networks. Here we have normally very cheap, low power or resource constrained sensor nodes. Not laptops anymore, but you think of sensors that sense the temperature, humidity, sense environmental effects, motion, light, and so on. You place them across some area, they form a wireless network between themselves, and they sense the environment and return the data to some central server. Examples is you throw 1,000 sensors across a forest to sense some environmental factor in that forest. All those sensors pick up data, send them wirelessly back central server, and it collects information about that forest. Or in agricultural settings, or you put a sense of sensors across a bridge, which sense the motion of that bridge and other factors on that bridge. So if there's an earthquake, then it can sense that the bridge is moving and detect and send warnings to people in the neighbouring vicinity. So that's a special case of an ad hoc network where the devices, the nodes, are very resource constrained. That is, they have kilobytes of memory, not megabytes, not gigabytes, but bytes or kilobytes of memory. They need batteries that last for months, possibly years, because often you cannot replace the devices. So they're very low power devices. Zigbee are an even lower power again. What is hard about these networks? I'll almost finish this topic. What makes mobile ad hoc networks challenging? Routing is a problem. There are many problems, but two main problems are routing and performance. Routing Routing is a problem because the network can be very dynamic. Routing is about finding the best path from source to destination. If that best path is changing very often because the nodes are moving, then we need a routing protocol that will update quite quickly. Consider our example. We have a set of nodes. We have nodes in our ad hoc network with wireless links amongst them. And the links, these lines indicate the range of the wireless links. That is, this node can communicate directly to these two, but not to the others. If this computer wants to communicate with this computer, then we need to choose a path through the network. Normal routing. So we need a routing protocol that finds the best path from A to B. What is it? Well, it depends on different factors like the least number of hops or maybe some other cost metric. Let's say the best path in the first instance is this path. And a routing protocol is this path. Remember, routing protocols take some time to discover paths. They need to exchange information with each other saying, who are your neighbors? Which nodes do you have links with? So that takes some time. The problem with mobile network is that quite often the paths may change. If you think of a normal fixed network, like in our internet, if these are routers, these are wired links. The rate at which the links change may be days, months even. That is, this link may stay the same for a matter of days and weeks. It may never change. Maybe unless someone unplugs the cable. In the worst case, maybe it's minutes or hours that it changes. But in a mobile ad hoc network, these nodes are moving. This one moves over a matter of 5 seconds. It's a car. It moves. It's now here. This path disappears. There's no longer a path through here. So maybe the best path is some other direction. We need our routing protocols to be able to update quick enough to detect such changes. Because if our routing protocol doesn't update quick enough, then we'd still be sending on this path, but it no longer exists. So we'd send to here and we get errors because this node has now moved to somewhere else. So we need specialized routing protocols for ad hoc networks so that people have developed special routing protocols that aim to update quickly in a matter of seconds, so that with this highly dynamic network, then the routing protocols will work. So many people have studied that. Another aspect of, or another technical challenge is performance. Like I said before, because we have multiple wireless hops, the overall throughput of a path may be very low. We have many nodes sharing the wireless bandwidth. As we know, the more nodes share that bandwidth, the lower the throughput per node. So we have multiple nodes here sharing the bandwidth, and therefore the throughput to send from here to here may be quite low, similar to send from here to here and so on. So that's a challenge because in ad hoc networks, in practice, compared to a wireless LAN, which say we may get 20 megabits per second, you're talking about one-third or one-tenth of that. Down to 1 or 2 megabits per second is typical because of these multiple wireless hops. So the performance is much lower in these networks. There are many other issues or technical challenges. Securing the networks is hard. How do you connect to the internet? How do you make sure the applications work well? How do you make sure the network is efficient in terms of the use of energy? So that's just a brief introduction to what is an ad hoc network or a mobile ad hoc network and how does it differ to our normal wireless networks like wireless LAN and mobile phone networks. What's the status of such networks? Again, there's been a lot of standardization and research activity over the past 10 or 20 years. You can now get implementations of the routing protocols. You can install them on your computer so that if everyone installed a specific MANET routing protocol on your laptop, you could all turn on your laptops and start forming a network amongst yourselves. The wireless LAN access points that you used in your assignment, you can install software on them such that they form an ad hoc network. And there, again, similar to the mesh networks, there are some cities which have hundreds, if not thousands, of these wireless LAN access points just deployed in people's homes, forming a mesh network amongst them. So, used in some commercial mesh networks, sensor networks, and by the military, but not in widespread consumer use, that we don't use it on a daily basis, because mainly the applications support special purposes. And that's it for this topic on mobile networking. Three things we've covered. One, mobile IP, which supports host mobility. One host moving between IP subnets. We use mobile IP to support that. And we cover that in detail, and you need to know the detail of that. On the website, there's a new handout which explains the example we used last week in detail. So we went through an example last week. I've written up that example, and you can download and read it if you did not understand that example. The second thing we mentioned today, and only mentioned the concept, what happens if an entire network wants to move? Not just a host, but a network of the router plus hosts, like a vehicle, a network inside a vehicle. Then we have network mobility, and there's a thing called NeMo to support that. It uses similar concepts as mobile IP. And the final thing, ad hoc networks. This is where we have spontaneously formed networks using multiple wireless hops to provide coverage across some area between what we think of as normally hosts, but these hosts, like our laptop, act as routers. They forward data on other people's behalf. So that's three topics related to mobile networking, and that's all we're going to cover up until the midterm. So, let's have a break, end of this lecture, and after the break we will talk a little bit more about the midterm. I'll illustrate, or use last year's exam to illustrate some examples, and then I'll answer any questions about the midterm. Okay?